for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Thursday evening, December 31st, 1999, Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. The speaker for this evening is Mike Blade from Memphis, Tennessee. This is the last service being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp for the year 1999. This service is already in progress. Thank you.
If you would, let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer for the reading of His Word.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Father, we just thank You for the opportunity, Father, to get together tonight. And Father, to testify to Your goodness, to testify to Your mercy, to testify to Your power. Father, we thank You for the spirit of prophecy, which is testimony. It is the spirit of Jesus Christ. It's the spirit of truth. It's Your Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank You that we are blessed of the Lord. Father, we thank You that we are counted worthy to be part of Your remnant. Father, we thank You that we have an opportunity, Father, to see the close of 1,000 years of history, Father, and the start of a new millennium. And Father, we thank You that Jesus is the Word, and the Word is truth.
Amen.
And the truth is what sets us free.
Yes. Amen.
And Father, I ask You to just anoint the reading of Your Word and the teaching of Your Word tonight, Father, to be truth as we start this new millennium. Father, as You roll up the scroll of this last 1,000 years and unroll the scroll of a new millennium, Father, I ask, Lord, that You give us a rhema word, Father, that You reveal the truth of Your Word. And if You choose so, Holy Spirit, just to reveal a glimpse of what we have coming. And to do it in Your power and Your grace and in the spirit of truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Just remain standing for the reading of His Word. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. I'm reading in a Revelation chapter 12, starting with verse 11, if you want to look with me. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she was nourished for a time, and times and a half a time, from the face of the serpent. And a serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Verse 17 says, And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You may be seated. I just want to share another verse with you. Brother Glenn earlier asked us all to give a short testimony. And I was really pleased that he did that, especially to bring in a new year, a new millennial reign of Christ, as we know that the times, we are in the end times. The Bible says that Jesus said that this was the end times when he wrote the word. So if that was the end times, how much more are we in the end times today?
Right.
And the word says there that they overcame him by the word of their testimony. I take that verse to mean, not only do I become an overcomer by the word, giving the word of my testimony, but I become an overcomer by hearing your testimony. So you encourage me. You build up me in my most holy faith as I listen to you testify of God's goodness and power. Revelation 19, verse 10, says, "And I fell at his feet," this is John the Revelator, "I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." And I just want to talk to you a minute about prophecy. I want to talk to you about the spirit of prophecy and the spirit, which is the spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen? Which is the spirit of truth. And it, as it pertains to our testimony, you know, John says that we are made overcomers by our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Well, we know that we're covered in the blood of the Lamb, but we also know that we need to testify of the gospel or of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
And that will make us even more so overcomers. And the Word says there that the devil casteth out a great flood upon the earth. But the Lord says that when the enemy comes upon you like a flood, He says, "Behold, I will lift up a standard against him." And tonight, I want to talk to you about the standard that the Lord has raised up against the enemy as the floods come. And it says, the Lord would tell you to be not deceived because the great flood waters are here. We're being flooded with evil. At every turn, we're being flooded with darkness. We're being flooded with the attack of the devil himself. The Word said there that the devil knows his time is short and he comes with great wrath. But the standard that the Lord raises up against the devil is this remnant that he's talking about. I believe that this is a remnant. I've never done an in-depth study of Revelation, so I can't go through the theology of it. I can't even tell you that much about the interpretation of it. I'm just doing an application of Scripture here for you tonight. And I know that the Lord wants you to know that you are part of that great remnant, as it said in Revelation 12:17, that the devil went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Who is the remnant? We are the remnant, church.
Amen.
We are the remnant if, as in verse 17 it says, we keep the commandments of God and we have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So I'm here to tell you tonight that you, as one that's obedient to Christ, are part of that remnant. Jesus said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and I will manifest myself to him." We're in an age of manifestations. We're in an age of revelations. This book is called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. John received revelation as to the true personhood of Jesus Christ, a personhood that no one else had ever seen. It was revealed to him by God Himself. And in these last days, God is going to reveal Himself to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. But it's a Jesus Christ that the church isn't preaching. It's a Jesus Christ, the warrior.
That's right.
If you go back to Joshua chapter 5, you don't have to turn there, but Joshua has an encounter with this warrior Christ. The reason I know that that was Christ, a pre-incarnate, is that the word, brother? Revelation of Jesus Christ, before He came incarnate as the Word and body, He revealed Himself in the Old Testament to Joshua. The reason I know that that was Christ was because He fell down at the feet of this angel of, it says that it was an angel of man that came unto Him, I believe, and He fell down and He worshipped Him. And the angel let him worship him. Well, if it was an angel, it would not have been, he would not have allowed him to worship him.
Right.
But it was Jesus Christ himself. That's why he allowed him to bow down. He says, "Are you for us?" Joshua said to him when he came, he fell at his feet in fear, it says, and worshiped him. And he says, "Are you for us or for our adversary?" And he said, "Take off your shoes, for this is holy ground." He didn't say, "Don't worship me like the angel said here in Revelation because I'm just a servant of man like you are." He let him worship him. So I know it was Christ. Amen. And I asked the Lord, I said, why did Joshua fear him? Because Joshua was the leader of God's people. Joshua knew God. Joshua had a revelation, I believe, of God. Joshua heard God speak. Joshua had the anointing of Moses on him. And the Lord told me that the reason that he fell down and worshipped him in fear was because it was a part of God, a side of God that had never been revealed to him before. It was the warrior Christ. See, the church today is preaching the Lamb. The church today is preaching the crucified Christ. They're still on the other side of the cross. They say it's okay to let... you just turn the other cheek. It's okay to let the enemy slap you around. It's okay to let the enemy devour you. And if you die with cancer because of the enemy, then it may glorify God. Well, I'm here to tell you that it doesn't glorify God when one of His people get killed by a spirit. Amen? The Bible said, cursed is the man who doesn't draw blood with the sword. We have to draw blood with the sword. What is the sword? Paul says in Ephesians that it's the Word. It's not only this Word, but it's the Word of our testimony. It's the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Which is the spirit of prophecy. I want you to start thinking of yourself as a prophetic person, as a prophetic warrior. Because Christ wants us to use our testimony and the spirit of prophecy, which is the spirit of Jesus Christ, and begin to receive revelations in this end times, and be able to receive dreams and visions and words, and be able to take those words and to slay the enemy with it. The enemy hates God's prophets. The enemy hates God's prophets because they receive the word of the Lord and they speak it. And when they speak the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord has the ability to deposit from the spiritual into the natural, the supernatural power of God to defeat him and to slay him. Paul said that we should covet to prophesy. Mm-hmm. The Bible says not to covet. But Paul said, covet to prophesy. It's the only gift that I know that says to covet that you would receive this. Prophecy is for the comfort and the edification and the exhortation of the brethren. It's to build us up. It's to build the unity. It's to build the church up. I'm here to tell you that the enemy doesn't want God's people to hear His voice. Doesn't want God's people to speak it once they hear it. He wants them to keep their mouth shut. There's one enemy in particular that will come against God's people, God's prophets, stronger than any other spirit. And that's the spirit of Jezebel. And the spirit of Jezebel will come against God's prophets to slay them. I know because I fought that spirit because it was the ruling principality over the curse on my family. And the Lord would have you know that Jezebel has already been defeated. Jezebel has been defeated by His Word. But if you know anything about the New Testament, Herodias had John the Baptist killed. Amen? Had John the Baptist killed. And who was Herodias married to? She was the illegitimate wife of Herod the Great. He was really, I think, Herod's brother's wife or something like that. And she was sleeping with the king. And so he promised the daughter of Herodias that he would do whatever she asked after she danced for him. Well, I believe it was Jezebel, the spirit of Jezebel on Herodias that killed John the Baptist because she wanted to slay the prophet of God. Yes. Because the Bible says that the spirit of Elias was on John the Baptist. The spirit of Elijah the prophet was on John the Baptist. And who warred against Jezebel? Elijah. What did Elijah do? He slew the 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God wants you to walk in prophecy. But I want to tell you, I want you to turn in your Word. I want to talk about the remnant. And how can we war effectively in these end times? In Zechariah chapter 9, turn with me to verse 14. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 14. And the Lord shall be seen over them, and His arrow shall go forth as the lightning, and the Lord God shall blow the trumpet. Where else do we hear that the angels blow the trumpet, the angel of God? in Revelation. Zechariah is getting a glimpse of the same thing that John the Revelator saw. He's getting a glimpse of the end times. He's getting a glimpse of the times that we now live in, the epochs that we now are in. And it says, "And shall go with the whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones. And they shall drink and make noise as through wine, and they shall be filled like bowls and as the corners of the altar. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of His people." The Lord's our great shepherd. We are as sheep. We are as the flock of His people. We are the remnant. God, Zechariah is talking about the remnant here. And he says, "For they shall be as the stones of a crown, lifted up as an ensign upon His land." When Jesus Christ comes back, He comes back how? As the great warrior. He comes back to be crowned what? King of kings and Lord of lords. What does a king wear on his head? A crown. What's in a crown? Who's those jewels? We are. We are the remnant. We are the stones of His crown. Let's skip down to verse 3. This is not a rabbit trail, brother. It's got a purpose, but we're gonna read verse 10, chapter 10, verse 3. "Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats, for the Lord of hosts hath visited His flock at the house of Judah, and hath made them as His goodly horse in the battle." Verse 5, "And they shall be as mighty men which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. And they shall fight, because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded." I want to talk to you a minute about the church, the status of the church today. I told you they're preaching a gospel that's not the gospel, the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. They're just telling you half of the story. They're telling you about the Lamb of God. They're telling you about the crucifixion. They're telling you about salvation. They're telling you about peace, but they're not telling you about deliverance. They're not telling you about healing. In general, there's not very many churches that are preaching deliverance from the enemy. And healing's nothing more than a form of deliverance. Amen? But there's a remnant out there that are. And we're part of that remnant. See, John saw Jesus with a double-edged sword coming out of His mouth. Amen? The Word, the Bible says the Word is as a two-edged sword. It says, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder even to the joints and marrow and even to the soul and the spirit. What do you think we're doing whenever we're operating in deliverance and we're breaking soul ties? What do you think we're doing when we're operating in deliverance and we're breaking curses? What do you think Jesus did when He died on the cross and became a curse for us? Because it said, "Cursed is any man that hangs on a tree," in Galatians 3:13. And so, when we operate in deliverance, we're wielding that two-edged sword. The Lord showed me that one of the blades is for salvation. He said, but the other blade is for deliverance, to set you free. See, you get eternal life. But what good is eternal life if you never achieve victory and you never get healing and you're under bondage of the enemy? So we have to use both sides. He also showed me, as we wield the sword, it'll come back on us with the other blade. And as we preach the Word, as we preach the truth, as we prophesy the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it'll come back and it'll deliver us. Salvation and deliverance, the two-edged sword. Amen? Let's look for a minute in Jeremiah chapter 23. We're going to talk about the shepherds. Jeremiah 23, verse 1. I like Jeremiah.
Amen.
God uses him a lot in my life. Because many times when you prophesy to people, they get confounded. They don't understand what you're saying. Because it doesn't make sense to them in the natural. You're speaking things out of the heavenlies. You're speaking things that haven't happened yet. You know, Jeremiah felt the same way, because he went unto God, told him in the first chapter, he said, "Don't look at their faces. Because if you look at their faces, you'll be confounded." Because when you prophesy to them, they're going to be confused. They're not going to receive it. And I've had that happen. I prophesy to somebody, and they give me a look like, man, that's way out there. And it confuses you, and you start to question, was that from the Lord? So he said, don't look at their faces. So a lot of times when you see me prophesy, I won't look at their face. I won't look at your faces, because the Lord told Jeremiah not to do that at times, especially when you're prophesying to people that are under bondage of the enemy. Amen? Because they can't receive it. But what happens is that sword comes down to deliver them. The word of the Lord will set you free. It says, the truth shall make you free, and he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen? So chapter 23, though, we talk about these pastors, and Jeremiah begins to prophesy from the Lord against the pastors that are keeping his people in bondage. He says, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock, and you've driven them away, and you've not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And here's that remnant again. Verse 3 says, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them. See, the Lord allows us to be driven out because he doesn't want us under ungodly rulers. He doesn't want us under authorities that would hold us in bondage. So he'll scatter us. Why do you think we're here tonight? We're scattered. Amen?
Right.
We're scattered. There's a lot of Christians scattered right now in their homes. The Bible says they're in their closets. They're in their caves. Like David and the 30 mighty men of valor, they were dead and distressed and in the cave until the Lord called them out. Amen? And tonight, I just want to tell you that the Lord is angry. His wrath has come against these shepherds that are keeping his people in bondage. He says, and I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. He says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. The Lord's talking about Jesus Christ. He came to buy us back. He redeemed us. He set the righteous branch before us. Amen. Not the branch that the ungodly priests bring up to their nose, the evergreen branch. Not the one that the occultists use. Amen. But the righteous branch of David, the Prince of Peace. But let's go to Joel. I want to turn to Joel, the book of Joel. We'll talk some more about the remnant and the pastors. Where I hope to go with this quickly is, and I just want to get through to this, is the church is teaching a doctrine today that I can't find anywhere in the Bible. They're teaching a doctrine that's called the rapture. And I'm not going to try to go through a theological study of the book of Revelation, but I can't find anywhere in my Bible that says that we are going to be raptured out of here. We're going to be on the first bus out of here while everybody else is eating beanie weenies around campfires and running from the devil. That's not what my Bible says.
Right.
My Bible says that there's a war going on. My Bible said that God's raising up a righteous army. My Bible says that we are going to overcome him. We're going to overcome the enemy. Amen? And we need to go to Joel to see. You know, we've already looked about, seen what Jeremiah said and Zechariah said about the remnant. Let's go to chapter 2 of Joel. He says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. It's a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there has not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. God's talking about his people, his elect. He's talking about us, the remnant. Amen?
Amen.
A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. I believe it was Jeremiah said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. He's talking about that fire, that anointing of the Holy Ghost. It burneth before them, and a flame burneth after them. We leave a path, a wide path with that anointing. Amen? That's why the devil hates us so much. Because that prophetic fire comes out of our mouth. It'll slay everyone in front of us, and it'll leave a blazing path behind us. He says, the land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. He's saying, it's yours. Take it. take who you may. Pick the fruit, judge them, slay the wicked. See, the remnant is the victorious army of God. He says, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses. And as horsemen, so shall they run. I believe this is what your father that saw, Brother Glenn?
Her father
saw. He saw the army of the Lord riding horses. The white horses. The red horses. The black horses. Amen. He saw the army of the Lord, which was the remnant. He says, like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Amen.
Amen.
Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways. And they shall not break their ranks. They're going to march forth in unity, church. God's raising up a remnant that's in unity. What you're hearing here, the teaching and the preaching that you're hearing is one of unity. Brother Glenn will be the first to tell you, we try not to divide on the minors. We try to, the majors, I think it was St. Francis of Assisi says, on the major doctrines we have to agree. On the minor doctrines, let's agree to disagree. Amen? And there's certain essentials of the faith, and that's the gospel that we have to agree on. He said, neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. What's the sword? The word. They judge themselves by the word. What do you think we're doing in deliverance? What do you think Brother Millard said this afternoon when he went through the word and he said, this is what the word says about curses. This is what the word says about the law. This is what the word says. If you do this, this will happen. We're judging ourselves by the word. See, we're judging ourselves by the sword now. So when the great judgment day comes and we fall on that sword, the word comes to judge us. We're already judged. Amen? Because we're righteous. We're obeying his commandments. We'll skip down to verse 11. The Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can abide it? Verse 13. And rend your heart and not your garments. Rend your heart and not your garments. Whenever the Bible uses the word, Kenneth Hagin told me this, and I just believe it so. When the Bible uses the word heart, he's talking about your spirit. He says, rend your spirit. Tear your spirit. Let the word come in and tear those things out of your spirit that aren't supposed to be in there. Amen? Let it purify you. Let it purge you. Let it sanctify you. Let it lift all those spiritual ties out. Like dross, as he refines you as gold and silver. And I want to skip down to verse 16. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children. I think we're doing that tonight. And those that suck the breast, and let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Who's the bridegroom? Jesus Christ. What's he coming back for? A pure and spotless bride. I thank the Lord for this ministry of deliverance. I thank the Lord for Irma and Glenn's ministry that they have here. Because the Lord's coming back for a pure and spotless bride. And they are making us pure and spotless. How? Through the word of the Lord. We're being judged by the word of the Lord. And that's what the word says that we're supposed to be. And we're going to come out of our... We're coming out of our closet. Amen? See, they teach us, and then we go back to our churches, and we share the teaching, and we set other captives free. Amen?
Amen.
And how is this all going to end up? My last few verses I want to take you to. I want to take you to... Lord, help me. Let's go back to Revelations. Revelations chapter... Never done that before. Tore a page in my Bible. Phew. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. It says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We're in a war, saints. We have to keep the commandments. We have to judge ourselves with the word. and we have to keep our give our testimony. We have to keep it, and we have to give our testimony. But there's good news. We're in dark times. We're in perilous times. But the Lord has set us apart. He's given us the light. He's given us the truth. He's setting us free so we can take the truth and we can set other people free. And then as we set the other people free, then the Lord's going to gain the victory. And the Lord's going to come back for this remnant. He's going to lead this army, this pure, spotless bride that I believe has been through deliverance, been through the Word, been through the judgment, had the sword to cut the cords that bind you, the anointing that breaks the yoke. And He's going to take us and He's going to make war on the enemy. And He's going to defeat him. Let's go to Daniel. Trying to cover all this in 30 minutes. I'm 10 minutes over. So I've got two verses in Daniel. And this will bring us into the new year. Amen. I didn't get to do it justice. But you can take these verses and you can begin to study in Revelations. I'm really just whetting your appetite. But the Lord wants you to know that there's a doctrine that's being taught in a church today that's erroneous. And I'm sorry I can't go in and give you all the verses on this. But, you know, the Word says that my pastors have become dull-hearted and brutish. And they teach the traditions of men. Mm-hmm. See, they're teaching what their seminary professor taught them, that their seminary professor taught them, that somebody taught them, that probably came out of Josephus's book or somewhere instead of the Bible. Because I don't see the word rapture in the Bible. There's a word harpazio, which means to be caught up. But, you know, the Bible says that we're going to be here to make war against the devil. And the devil's going to make war against us. And if we look in Daniel chapter 7, he tells us what the end is going to be. Daniel chapter 7, verse 18. But the saints of the Most High, shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Who's that, saints? That's us. We're going to take the kingdom. It doesn't say we're going to go up to heaven while the devil does all of his stuff down here and abuses everything and tears it up and makes it a rotten place to live, and then we're going to come back and then we're going to defeat him. I don't see where it says that. It says that we're going to be here. See, when the book of Revelation was written, this is what people don't understand. It was written to a church that was under persecution. It was written to a church that if they caught you preaching the word and the truth, they'd hang you upside down. They'd burn you at the stake. It was written at a time when Nero burned the city of Rome. He was an insane man. He was under the control of the devil and he killed Christians. Okay? But it was written at a time where they would understand these symbolisms. And the reason it was written was to encourage a church that was under war. They were in war against the devil, against an insane ruler that was possessed with demons. Amen? That had warriors that was possessed with legions of demons. And they came against God's people. And He wrote this word to encourage them. You know what I believe? That we're going to understand Revelation when we're in the midst of the battle with the enemy. And we're going to read it. We're going to be under... Our family's going to be being slain around us. Our homes are maybe on fire. It doesn't, you know, I don't know. I don't understand all the earthquakes and fire and brimstone and all of that. But I know that we're going to be under... We haven't seen persecution yet. We're on the verge of it. Martial law has been declared. The executive order has been signed that martial law can be declared at any moment.
Amen.
Only thing that has to happen is one spirit can move on one man and cause him to pick up the phone and call the National Guard. And I'm not trying to put fear in you, because guess what? God says that we're going to win.
Amen.
God says that we're victorious. God says that we, as long as we're in obedience to His Word and we have His commandments, that we are going to slay the enemy. We're going to make a path before us and a path after us. He's going to flee, because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? Verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Let's back up verse 21. I should have read that. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. We're actually going to judge Satan and his demons. And we're going to judge the non-Christians with our mouth, with the word that comes through our mouth. The Lord's going to use us to judge. Amen? He reserves the right to judge, but He can use who He will. It says He turns the hearts of a king like a river. He's turning our hearts inside out. Our spirits, He's cleansing us. He's sanctifying us. He's making us holy, pure, and spotless, so that when that rivers of living water wells up within us and comes out, it's the pure, unadulterated, unpolluted Word of God to judge unrighteousness. Amen? Verse 27, the last verse, "And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom." I like this part. "And all dominions," my Bible says that word means powers, "and all powers shall serve and obey Him." I just want to testify that I don't believe it's coincidence that I'm here and that I have the privilege to preach a message starting the millennium. I feel so unworthy to preach a message in a ministry like this of deliverance. God showed me that the anointing that these people have in the area of their ministry is every bit as strong as the anointing of Smith Wigglesworth and his evangelistic ministry. Devils tremble and devils flee when these people come out, when these teachings come out. Because we're talking about spiritual kingdoms, spiritual powers, spiritual principalities, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places that we war against. And they're giving us what we need to have victory over the enemy and take dominion or power, authority over those dominions. Amen?
Amen.
And I just want to thank you, Brother Glenn, for letting me share this word with you. I just want you to know that we don't have any reason to fear.
That's right.
We have no reason to fear. God's told us He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We can go home confident that the Lord is accomplishing His will in our life. And the Lord gave a word this afternoon to Brother Glenn that he should pray over us and impart this anointing. He has such a great anointing. I believe that when he was with Catherine Coleman, some of her anointing rubbed off on him. When he was with Derek Prince, that anointing for deliverance was imparted to him. When he was with Kenneth Copeland, when he was with all of these people, that anointing is imparted. God, that's biblical. That impartation anointing. And I want some of it. And I asked Him to lay hands on me and pray for me and impart to me some of that. I believe that some of the tapes He has in His archives, if they could just be played over the air, over the airwaves. It says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, according to which you once walked, according to the course of this world. If we can get that word out over the airwaves, that impartation anointing will go over the airwaves and defeat Satan and come into people that listen. See, if we can receive demons through the air, through the ear gate and through the eye gate, can we not receive the power of God through the ear gate?
Amen.
He says, how shall they hear without a preacher? He says, but faith will come through the preaching of the word. Amen. And I just know that God's got great things in store. You know, the age doesn't matter to God. He just told him today that he could probably have another 40 years. He could live till he's 120. What are you, 74, brother?
79, the first of March.
79. So let's see, that's 80. If you live to 120, that's 40 years. How much damage can you do to the kingdom of darkness in 40 years? Jesus had 3. Amen. We have the same power in us. He says, greater works than these will you do. Amen. These people are doing greater works than those. These people are expelling thousands of demons. It says one shall cause 1,000 to flee. 2 will cause 10,000 to flee. We've got about, I don't know, 30 in here, 20 in here. It's an exponential curve. Amen. That anointing is for the impartation. It's to drive the demonic forces of hell back and let the armies of the Lord begin to take back God's church, establish God's church. Amen? So I leave you with an encouraging word that tonight, that if you will just in faith believe, Romans says, if a man believeth with the heart, the man believes with his heart unto righteousness, and with his mouth confession is made unto salvation. How do we get salvation? We believe with our heart, we confess with our mouth. How do we get deliverance? We believe with our heart, we confess with our mouth. Amen? How do we get the anointing for deliverance? We believe with our heart and we confess with our mouth. And I want some of what he's got. Because God didn't give it to him to sit on. God didn't give it to him to take to the grave 40 years from now. God gave it to him to give out, to train, to the scattered saints, to the saints that are in the closet that come to this ministry to receive. And I just want to receive, and I think we all should receive. So just believe in your heart. That's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And He is what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We're diligently seeking Him. And He's going to reward us. Because the Word says that God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Had He said, shall He not do it, or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? He's spoken the Word. He's said it. We've read it. We believe it. Let's receive it tonight. Amen.
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 Amen. So we'll conclude. In the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey Him. Here too is the end of the matter. Amen. Oh, well, we need to put the communion here. I thought you've got it. Okay. Yes.
Times that I've been here, we have sung the song, "We Exalt You." We exalt You. We exalt You. Did y'all sing that earlier and I missed it? That's always when I think, wherever I am and that song comes into my heart comes here.
It's your rememberer, huh?
Yes.
Reminder.
Yes.
Well, I'm not really too concerned with the clock, but has been asked that we pray over everybody. I tell you what we'll do. If you just come by, I'll anoint you and lay hands on you and pray. We can do that. And that's just as important and as much done as if we took a lot of time doing it. That's not necessary, but we'll do it, okay? All right. I'll tell you how we're going to do it. And then what I want you to do when you come back, when everybody just sit right here in this section in front of us. And everybody here, walk up by and, well, okay, if you insist, had it on backwards. Amen. Okay. All right. And we'll start right here, and then you sit back down and come up and then fill up the seats all in here, okay? And then, Phil, when we come to you, while you depart to the piano, okay?
His armor coming up.
Oh. You going to stand here? Okay, you got your helper there. All right.
Yeah, fine helper.
Good. Wonderful.
Okay.
He's very willing. He's a willing helper.
Come on over here. That's fine. Okay. Can you put your hand there?
Yep.
That's fine. You're my backup. You're my backup. Let's stand, and you'll be ready to walk. Father, we come this evening to acknowledge that all things are of Thee, and that in Thee and through Thee is our life and our being. Father, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You for that which You've imparted unto each one of us. Now this evening, Father, as we lay hands on these and anoint with oil. May the ministry of deliverance and restoration be imparted unto them, and the boldness to declare that you are Lord of Lords. Father, we speak boldness to them in this year ahead, that there shall be a multiplication of the kingdom of the living God because of us here and others across the nation. Father, we're not selfish. We don't believe that we're the only ones. Father, we know that you have 7,000 besides us and many times more that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. And Father, but we thank you for the privilege you've given us to be a testimony and a witness in this place at this time for the kingdom. I thank you for it. Amen. Okay. I'll just go here and then. Father, I lay hands on my sister, and I impart unto her the boldness to witness and to be, and I send her forth as a deliverer in Zion in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord. Father, I lay hands on my sister, and Father, I impart unto her boldness to stand and declare and testify, and not to be ashamed, Father, of that which you have given unto her. I praise you for it, Father. Father, I lay hands on this little one, and I pray the anointing of the Holy Ghost into this young lady, Father, that she'll be an example before men of the kingdom of the living God, and she'll study to show herself approved and to desire to live according to your word, regardless of what others say. Thank you, Lord. And Father, this young lady, I pray, Lord, and I thank you for her testimony to her mother and father and to her stepfather. I thank you, Father, for your anointing to rest upon her and for your presence to go with her. Amen. And Father, this young man, Father, I lay hands on him, and I impart and bind him to the kingdom of the living God, that his testimony shall not be gainsaid, and he will not be bashful or backward, but from this day forward, he will declare that he will serve the Lord. I bless him, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, my brother, Father, his desire to know you, his desire to walk before you, I lay hands on him, Father, and impart the anointing of that of the word to come forth from him in power and in boldness. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Loose me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Walk around in the back. Praise you, Jesus. Father, I lay hands on Merle. Father, I thank you for the change I see in this man's life. I thank you for the determination that you put in him, Father, to serve you. And I bind him to the kingdom, Father, that he'll not go back, but he'll go forward.
Hallelujah.
And I thank you for it, Father. And I bless him in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And this young man, Father, rising up to be a warrior in the household of faith. Father, give him an understanding of your word. Put that desire in him. Let him not to be ashamed, and let him not to be hurt in any way by those who make fun of him or stand against him, Father. And I bind him to the kingdom in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, Dan, Father, I thank you for Dan. I thank you for the blessing that he is to helping me. And I thank you, Lord, for your anointing and discernment and understanding of your word. And Father, give him the opportunity to expound on your word and increase, Father, his knowledge and understanding in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't think that'll do me any good, but I'll take a swallow. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, sweetheart, you've determined that you're going to be a light to the household. And Jesus will fulfill that desire of your heart. As you don't let people persuade you that Jesus is not real. And your family will come. It may not be tomorrow, and it may not be next year. But the day will come when they'll look to you for help.
Hallelujah.
Father, I lay hands on this young lady. I bind her to the kingdom. I release understanding to her mind. I release a determination to know you and to serve you and do that which is right in your sight, in Jesus' name. And you ask Jesus about those earrings. Okay? Amen. Father, I thank you for Ruthie.
Mm.
I thank you, Lord, for the blessing she is to the young people where she serves and to the house that she keeps, Father, for these that have passed through these her doors. And I thank you, Father, for that. And I speak strength to her. I speak restoration to her physical body. I speak life to it in the name of Jesus. And I rebuke the infirmities of this body. And I curse it in the name of the Lord. And I break the dominion of that curse from off of her. And by the stripes of Jesus, I command this body to restore itself in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I bless Phil. Thank him, Lord, for the ministry that you've given him. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings that he has blessed others with and blesses us with. I thank you, Lord Jesus. And Father, I thank you for a cleanness and a holiness in him, Father, to determine to walk before you in that place. And Father, as he studies and hides your word in his heart, that you bring revelations of yourself to him that he can bring forth unto us and unto others. I thank you for his talents, Lord. I thank you that you're multiplying them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, you know the desire of this young first lady's heart. Lord Jesus, she's young to you and to me. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you know that desire of her heart. And I ask, Father, that the angel of the Lord should be with her to fulfill that, that her testimony will not be gainsaid, but she'll be a light in her community and a light to her house. And that light will shine ever more brighter until the day that Jesus becomes the light of lights in all of our lives. And I bless her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well,
Lord, I pray the joy of the Lord to this lady. Father, I come against the sorrow of yesterday, the heartache of yesterday, and I replace it with the joy of the Lord. Father, she's stood forth, and she stands forth, and she has stood against depression, and she stood against the heartache and sorrow. Now, Father, I bind and break it from her in the name of Jesus, and from this time forth, the joy of the Lord shall go forth from her, and she shall rejoice in the things of the Lord. As this new year dawns in her life, Father, it shall be a different day than yesterday. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the dancing heart. Amen. I thank you for it, Jesus. I bless her, Lord. I bless her. I bless her. Amen. Father, I lay hands on her and I impart your presence and your glory to go with her and wisdom for tomorrow. Infirmity, I bind you. I break you out of this body in the name of Jesus. I release the healing virtue of the Lord through this body, and the testimony of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I bless her. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Martin.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
The joy of the Lord is your portion.
Oh, praise
Father, I thank
praise
you for him seeing the day that his family calls upon your name. Father, I bind his children to the kingdom. And I thank you, Lord, that he shall live to see the day that they shall declare that Jesus is Lord of their lives. And I bind the grandchildren in Jesus' name. And I break the curses of the ancestral heritage of their mother and their father from off of them. And I release the anointing of the Lord to flow forth under them, to bring conviction on them in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen, amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, Ruth Jean Post. Father, I thank you for this blessing that she has been and is to the campground and to Irma and I. I bless her, Father. I bless her for the blessing she is to her grandchildren. And may her children, Father, see you in her. And may they serve the living God. I bind the backsliding spirits in them. I bind the backsliding spirits. I break it in the name of Jesus. And I pray conviction on them in the name of the Lord. Thank you for it. Now, Father, I pray health and strength for Jean. I thank you for her testimony. And I thank you, Lord, for your deliverance for her. And, Father, I thank you that she will, as she leads these grandchildren and that teaches them before the altar in her home that she shall see the fruits of her labors, not only in them, but in the rest of the family,
yes,
because
Lord.
Of that.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
I receive it.
Amen.
Thank you,
Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Father, I take this young lady and I hold her in my arms and I bind her to the kingdom and I break the curses of ancestral heritage down this family line. And I speak life to her and I speak a love of Jesus to her and a desire to know you and to serve you. I speak the joy of the Lord to her. And Father, give her a song to sing in the night and the joy of the Lord to be her portion. And she'll stand and say, "Be thou made whole," and it shall be so in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Well, Father, I thank you for this lady that I've known for these past few years. I thank you for the example and the testimony she is in this town. I thank you, Lord, for her to see the desire of her heart in her offspring. I bind them, Father, to the kingdom of the living God, and I break the powers over them that they think that her mother's off in foolishness. And I break that over her in Jesus' name. Father, I bind that intellectual spirit in the name of the Lord. And I release them from that power. And I bind them to the kingdom and the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Father, may there be somebody come by their doorstep that they don't even know, but it'll change their lives, and they will come and say, "Mama, pray for me, pray for me." And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for her testimony to others in this community. And I thank you for your blessings on her this coming year. And I bind the spirit of infirmity off of her, and I break its assault against her, that she'll be have health and strength in the years to come to testify that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Death, I bind you. I bind you off of her. I break your assignment over her. Death, I bind you. She'll live and not die and declare the works of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise your Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise your Lord Jesus. Amen. Rubbed it all off on everybody. What's your name?
Danielle Blades.
Danielle?
Christina Danielle Blades.
Huh?
Danielle.
Danielle. Okay. Danielle. Well, I've got a grandson whose name is Daniel. Almost like that. So you're really kind of named after Daniel. Danielle.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. So Daniel was a mighty man of God. And he had a great heritage behind him and ahead of him. Because God gave him understandings of the hour that you and I live in. So you've got a heritage that you got to live up to for Jesus. For Jesus. Father, this young woman, I lay my hands on her, and I pray holiness of the living God, purity and virginity unto her, that she'll stand against the wiles of the devil and against all that comes against her. No matter where she's at, Father, or what the temptation is, she'll look back and remember that I laid hands on her and I bound her to the kingdom. That she'll be a woman of holiness and purity for your name's sake, because you're Lord of Lords, and because through your blood you have brought salvation unto her, and that she in turn will bring salvation unto many others. I thank you for it, Jesus. I thank you for it. I bless her in Jesus' name. Blessing, sweetheart. Amen. Well, you've been down the road, and now you're coming up the road.
Yes, amen.
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 You're coming up the road with the ark.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And the joy of the Lord shall be your portion.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Father, this one that has been so far and has come back from that faraway land, Father, I lay hands on her, and I bind her this night to the kingdom of the living God. And I bind and break the darts and the arrows that Satan would shoot at her. I cause her armor to be strong and heavy, and they'll not pierce. And they'll fall on the right hand and on the left. and they'll not pierce through. She'll stand in the armor of the Lord Jesus, and she will be victorious because Jesus is Lord of her life. I thank you for it, Father. Father, I take away from her memory all of the things of the past, and I bind that from her mind. And I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse the subconscious of this mind. And when Satan tries to bring it up, she'll say, oh, but that's under the blood. And devil, you can't stand that. And you have to flee. So she has the authority to say, devil, it is written, the blood of Jesus has cleansed me. You have no rights to me. Leave me alone in Jesus' name. And I break the powers of the subconscious mind to recall all these things of yesterday. And I release her to rejoice in the things of the Lord as she walks into another year to be a praise unto you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you come on over here. Amen.
I need another chance.
Hiding back there in the corner.
Yeah, I need another chance.
Well, you got, we all got all we need. We don't need another one. We've just got it. Amen. Father, I bind this lying spirit over this woman. You devil, I'll bind you. You're a liar. And I release the joy and the glory of the Lord unto her through the name of the Lord Jesus. I appropriate the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash. And Father, it is written that what we remit is remitted in heaven. And Father, it says that if we remit their sins, they're remitted. And I come, Father, tonight and take authority over any sins that the devil's trying to lay on her. And I put the blood of Jesus against her, and I remit them in the name of the Lord. And I set her free from it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Devil, you're not going back home with her to torture her. I bind you from her. I break your assignment over in Jesus' name. Loose her. Loose her in the name of the Lord. Loose her in Jesus' name. Loose her. Loose her. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Loose her. Loose her in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for victory. We thank you for the joy of the Lord. We thank you. Put the blood of Jesus to cleanse. I break the curses off of her. I release her in Jesus' name. I speak healing to this body by the scars and stripes. For it is written in Isaiah 53:5, but my stripes were healed. And I command in Jesus' name this body to receive it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. You bringing up the rear?
I'm the head, not the tail. The first should be last. The
last should be
first.
That's right. Father, I thank you for Crystal. I thank you for her family. I thank you for her grandparents. I thank you, Lord, for the blessings that they have and are to this place. I thank you for the anointing that rests on this woman. I thank you, Lord, for her desire to serve you. And I thank you, Lord, for the talents that you've given her. And I thank you, Lord, that the talents that she's willing to use them for your service. And I thank you for it. Father, I bind her to the kingdom. I bind her to righteousness and holiness. I bind her, Father, that she'll not go astray in any area of her life, but that she'll seek after thee to know thy will and thy way. And I praise you for it. I thank you. I bless her, Father. I bless her as my own daughter or granddaughter. I bless her, Lord. And I thank you for the privilege of it. And I bless her in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Father, I lay hands on Irma. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over spirits of infirmity and pain. I bind you out of here in the name of Jesus. I break your assignment in Jesus' name over my wife. And I release her to be strong and healthy and in her right mentality in Jesus' name. I bind it in Jesus' name. I break the assignment of it over her body. And I appropriate the scars and stripes and the blood of the whipping post and of the crown of thorns for Irma's physical body in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Pray for this young man sitting on the front seat.
I did already.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. Now, you can just stay sitting there. You don't need to leave. Oh, okay, Phil. I see you found your place. All right. Yes, we're going to, but Phil's gonna sing for us first.
Oh, okay.
And then we're going to have communion. Amen. We're having communion in the new year. We praise the old one out. We're going to bless the new one in. We already have. We already have, as far as we're concerned here. Amen. Amen. Have we been powered up over here? No. Oh, no. That's not. That's what you're there for. That's what you're here for.
No, now it's staying
up. Now it's going to stay up there.
I don't want to block my vision here. Are we set?
Power him up.
Okay. Glenn told me that I could have a moment to, since I didn't testify earlier when all the rest of you did, that I could have a moment before I sang. And I just believe the Lord has a word for us to ponder on that really has been coming forth this week. But I just want to thank the Lord. I've become one of the old timers around here. I look around and I don't see very many people anymore that come around that have been here as long as we have. I think we beat just about everybody except maybe Fern and Inez and a couple folks that live in the area here. But as far as those that actually come from afar, and many times I wonder what it is that has kept us coming, because we've come pretty faithfully now for many, many years, almost every camp meeting since we came to Arkansas. And before that, even when we had to travel, we came several times a year. But I know in my case, and as in many of us, and many of you, is deep need draws us to where there's help. And many times in wherever we live and situations we're in, we don't have the ability to find the help that we need. And praise God for this place, because I came here a very broken person. But it seems to have taken me such a long time compared to some people. And I guess I have a better understanding of why it took me a long time to understand. The devil tormented me a great deal, especially in the early years, because I felt like it didn't seem like things were happening and that I was getting the freedom that I was looking for. But the Lord has shown me and given me understanding, and I think those that minister in the area of deliverance are gaining an understanding and gaining an anointing to help. And but I think the thing that has really sort of almost made me, I don't want to use that word, but desire to just be here as much as possible is the truth that comes forth in here of the kingdom and the teaching. I guess I've become very, very hungry to hear, and I'm constantly desiring to hear the word that's coming forth. And I've sensed a growth in that word. In this camp meeting, many of you that are here now weren't here in the earlier part of this camp. And if there's any way that you could get a hold of the tapes, Donnie Morris and Dale Copeland, and of course, Brother Harris, but some powerful word there, some powerful word. And as Ruthie mentioned about us going into foster care, you know, it seemed, well, first of all, years ago, we adopted a little girl, and it just seemed like her problems were so great. And even at this time, even with all that we knew to do, we weren't able to break through the bondage that was in her life. And at this time, she's sitting in a prison in Pennsylvania, and it breaks our hearts. But I don't lose hope, because I know God has His hand on her. And I believe that anointing that God has given us, this place that we've been talking about, and Glenn has been praying and transmitting that anointing, I believe that anointing is growing. I believe that anointing is going to grow exponentially here in days to come, because I believe it is the time for the coming forth of the kingdom. And the Lord's given us the privilege of having wounded children and young people in their home, and it breaks my heart, because at this point in time, it seems like there's so little that we can do to help, because maybe our experience is limited, our anointing is limited. But again, I don't look that as in any way as defeat, because I believe God is bringing us into a new level. And I even speak that prophetically, because I know that that word that has come forth, even this camp meeting, is not going to fall. And if you hear what they were saying, you know that this is not something for the future. Get a hold of that message. I got to get a hold of that message. It is for now, if we can lay hold upon it. And the Lord just gave me tonight a wonderful picture of what I believe that we're going to see in the days ahead. And we're going to operate in, if we are willing to lay hold of it by faith, is the picture of Jesus and his disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. While his feet were on the earth, as they oftentimes say, he didn't fly off somewhere to get this anointing. It was right there. He was transfigured before his disciples. But I believe that's a picture of what God wants for his overcoming sons in this day and this hour. But interestingly enough, it wasn't just for him or even just for the disciples to see. Because what did he do next? He went down the mountain and he was confronted with one of the most difficult cases he was ever confronted with in terms of demonization. And the disciples who had been anointed for ministry and had been anointed by Jesus himself to cast out devils could not cast that devil out. It was beyond them. But Jesus, of course, not only dealt with it, but dealt with it immediately. And I believe that that's the kind of thing, and that's what God has called us to. And we aren't going to have to stand helpless there as those disciples did and saying, Lord, we just don't know what to do. We just couldn't cast it out. But we're going to see that anointing. I just believe that. And these lovely children and others that and people that you run across that you just feel like they're just beyond help. I mean, you don't really believe it, yet you just don't really know what to do to help them either. You know what I'm saying? God's going to break through those bondages and barriers. I have to believe that. I have to lay hold of that because I grieve over these. And if you've ever worked with children that have come from the terrible home lives that are all around us and see the brokenness and the destruction, it just breaks your heart. But to know that we have Jesus, and that not only do we have Jesus in the sense of what we've always known, but we have Jesus in a magnitude even beyond what we can almost comprehend. But it's a matter of us laying hold of that, of getting the word that came forth even this week at this campground and making it a reality, a part of our life. That's what I long for. Praise God. And I just praise God for what he's bringing forth here and in other places too. But I just feel like God has this place as a unique place and that we're going to see it here. I just believe that. And we've been hearing the word come forth prophetically over and over again. And of course, you know, the enemy hates this place on the other hand. And I work here now full time. And I know the pressure and the stress. So you all need to be praying for us because the enemy doesn't want this to come forth. And he's going to do everything he can to destroy it or hinder it. But we know we have the victory through Jesus Christ. And especially with the prayers of the saints behind us. And so anyway, I'm going to sing a song here. It's communion time, and we're honoring the Lord and what he did for us, and we're commemorating and remembering his sacrifice and what he did. And this is a beautiful song. Dan spoke of the glory of God, and this song is called The Lamb of Glory. And I believe that glory is to come forth in us. But Jesus, of course, was the one who brought it. And I just want you to join with me as we worship. Worship the Lamb of Glory. Hallelujah. And blood would flow.
Jesus. Amen. Well, I've asked Mike and Dan to help us with communion here, and I'm going to read a couple of three scriptures here before we partake of communion. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. There's that tradition. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you and for me, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Revelations 1 and 5. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us, that loved me and washed me from my sins in his own blood, and hath made us a kingdom of priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Matthew 26 and verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body," or the word, "This word is the body of Christ." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of my sins." Amen. Mike, will you take the cup there and Dan that? Now, wait a minute. Let's reread this again here. And then you pray over that, and you pray over that, Dan, over the bread. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body."
Lord, I thank you right now just for the time, Lord, that we are in, Lord. Lord, that if it wasn't for your body being broken, Lord, we would be the ones that would still have to go and suffer. But Father God, you took that upon your body. And Lord, as your body was broken, it was broken for me, Lord. And I'm humbled to be able to hold this, Father God, and to be able to pray with this. And Father, I thank you right now. And Lord, I thank you just for the fact that you, Father God, loved me so much. Father, may I never take that for granted. But Father, always be willing, in season and out of season, to be willing to serve you as you serve me.
And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins."
Father, we thank you for this cup, Father. We thank you for the blood of your Son, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your obedience even unto death. We thank you that you shed your blood for us, not only to wash away our sins, but to heal us of every sickness and every disease, and to deliver us from every enemy. Father, we thank you that we cannot find the words, Father, to even express, Father, the sacrifice that you made. Father, none of us can know the sacrifice that you made for us. Oh God, we just take this, we take this cup of your Son's blood right now, Father. But Father, we just apply it to each one of our lives.
Yes, amen.
Father, we remind the enemy that it's by his blood.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.